All right, we're going to be in Philippians chapter number 3 tonight. And speaking of those that are mathematically challenged, did you hear about the football team? And I wanted to say Ohio State, but we'll change it. I tried to tell it to Stephen as an Ohio State joke, and he said it just doesn't work. But in the eastern hills of Kentucky, the football team had a pep rally the day before their big game. And they were introducing the players. When it came to Big Bubba, their star linebacker, the principal steps up and says, "I'm afraid Big Bubba's just not eligible. He's having difficulty with his math credits, and he's just not eligible to play the game academically." And the crowd goes wild saying, "Give Bubba another chance. Give Bubba another chance." They just chanted and kept chanting. And so the principal and the athletic director and the coach huddled up for a little bit, and the principal gets back to the microphone and, you know, he hushes the crowd down and he says, "All right, we'll give Bubba another chance. We'll give him a one-question math test." And so the principal looks over at Big Bubba and says, "Big Bubba, tell me, what is 2 + 3? Big Bubba's brow furrows as he's deep in thought, and sweat begins to bead up on his forehead. And finally, after a little while, he says, "I think I have the answer. 5. The place goes silent for a few moments. Then the crowd begins to chant, "Give Bubba another chance. Give Bubba another chance." So I like the Ohio State version more, but as I said, on Stephen's advice, we changed that to Eastern Kentucky. All right, we are in Philippians chapter number 3, and we'll read just verse number 9 tonight as Paul recounts his experience with the Lord and his desire to know the Lord. And in verse number 9, he says, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Father, we thank you for your word. Bless us now as we study, in Jesus' name, amen. I want to just focus in on a couple of words of this verse tonight and spend just a little bit of time. I don't expect to be real long, but we'll see where we go. We'll be looking at a lot of scripture, which always takes us a little while to get to different verses, but it's good that you turn in the scriptures and see what the Word of God has to say. But I'd like to spend just a little bit of time tonight on that one thought: be found in Him. Be found in Him. Obviously, the implication is that Paul wanted to be found in Christ as a saved man, and to be found not just as a saved man in Christ, but a saved man in fellowship with Christ. And so Paul here again is sharing his motivation to his Christian life. And if we'll grasp a little bit of his motivation and make it our motivation, we'll see God do great things through us as well. But the whole idea of being found, I just simply asked myself the question as I was studying this: be found by whom? Be found by whom? And as I considered that thought of being found by whom, I came up with four different answers, four different possible answers. There may be more, but just simply four answers who I would like to be found in Christ. And so when these individuals would chance upon me in their lives or in their existence, they would say of him or say of me, now he's in Christ, as a saved man, but also as a saved man in fellowship. Now, I believe the first and the perhaps primary meaning of Paul here in this passage of Scripture is to be found by the Lord, to be in Christ. If we're found outside of Christ by the Lord, pity the day that that happens. Should it be that we step into eternity in that state? And so I believe first and foremost in Paul's mind is he wanted to be found by the Lord, saved and in fellowship. Now, as we consider that, turn over, if you would, in Deuteronomy chapter number 26. Deuteronomy 26. Now we're going to spend most of our time looking at being found by Christ, by the Lord, as a saved man in fellowship. Because as much as peer pressure is important, as much as our testimony is important, nothing is more important than pleasing our Savior. Nothing is more important than being found by our Lord, Jesus Christ. And what His opinion is of us is really all that ought to count. If His opinion of us is right, then all the people that matter on this planet will also just work out. But if our relationship, or if we're found in Him in a wrong relationship, then the other ones will go by the wayside as well. But we have to keep in mind there's only one to whom we give answer when life is all said and done. It's not the individual we work with. It's not even our family members. There's only one to whom we give an account, and that's God. And so, we'll spend most of our time here because I believe this is the primary emphasis, and this should be the primary emphasis in our lives. In Deuteronomy chapter 26, let's read verses 7 and 8. "And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness and with signs and with wonders." And so probably should have read the next verse, verse number 9. "And He hath brought us unto this place," talking about they're on the border of the promised land, "and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey." And so Moses is recounting to the Jew, to the Israelites, where they came from and how they got to where they are now. And what he is saying here is that God found us in Egypt. And when God found us in Egypt, we were in dire straits. But because we were found of God, we found out that He desires to help His own. You see, the Jew was God's covenant people in the Old Testament economy. And because of that, when God found them, He found them in a relationship. Now, it was a very strained relationship, and it was a broken relationship. We know that their relationship with the Lord was not what it ought to have been in the land of Egypt, but we do know they were crying out to God for help. And so we know they were looking to Him for help in their difficult situation and circumstances. And what Moses is saying is, we cried, God found us as a result of that cry for help, and we found that God desires to help His own. And so when we find ourselves in difficult situations, we want to be found by Him, don't we? We want to, first of all, be found in Christ as a saved man, but also in fellowship. Because God just simply desires to help His own. Over and over again in the Scriptures, primarily in the New Testament, but in the Old as well, God describes Himself as our Father. And He uses the illustration, as a father wants to help his children, so God in heaven wants to help His own. Turn over to Psalm chapter 14. Paul says, "I want to be found in Him, by Him, because He desires to help His own." Psalm chapter 14, verse number 2. This chapter is quoted by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3 to show that there were none that sought after God, that all were sinners. But in this passage, he mentions that the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men, and so He found them. Now, how did He find them? To see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And, of course, we know the answer is no. The next verse says, "They are all gone aside, they are altogether become filthy, there is none that doeth good, no, not one." That's what God found. But He sent His Son to die for our sin, and we, through faith, can be saved. And now we find that God is looking in heaven, from heaven, on earth, seeking those that seek Him. That's essentially what this verse is telling us, Psalm 14, verse number 2, that God is seeking those that are seeking Him. He wants to find those that want to be found as a saved individual in fellowship with Him. That's God's desires. Now, God says that we'll be found by Him if we seek Him. He mentioned this in several passages of Scripture. First of all, let's look at 1 Chronicles 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. First Chronicles chapter 28, verse number 9, the Bible says this, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek Him, He will be found of thee. But if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever." And so again, we have it emphasized for us that God is seeking us. He wants those that have right thoughts. He wants those that are seeking after Him. And the idea here is that He will bless those who do so. And those who reject Him, those that are found outside of Christ, those that are found perhaps even as Christians, and yet out of fellowship with God, it says He will cast thee off. He will cast thee off. Not losing salvation, but losing that sweet fellowship and the blessings of God. But He also warns that there's a time when He may not be found. Now, He says, "I want you to seek Me." But He says there's a limit, a time limit. Look, if you would, in Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Here are the references to the individual who knows the Lord. We know that not all who know the Lord seek the Lord. They don't care if God were to find them out of fellowship. They're willing to take their chances because they've been caught up with the world and they see the things the world has to offer and they say, "Well, that's better than what God will give me." Now, they're sadly mistaken and they'll regret that decision later on. But we know He gives us the decision. All right, in Psalm chapter 32, we're going to focus in on verse number 6, but it starts off in verse number 1. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." And so what we have here is a consciousness of forgiveness. The psalmist understanding that God has completely forgiven his sin. He moves on in the next couple of verses. Verses 3 and 4 of his conviction of sin. "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah." Then we have confession of sin in verse number 5. He says, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Now in verse number 6 and 7, we find the comfort of God. "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. For thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me with songs of deliverance." Now in verse number 6, when he says, "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee," what is he saying? What is the request here that he's making reference to? What does he tell us that everyone who is godly will pray? It goes back to the previous verse, which simply says, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee." And so what we find here is that the Christian will seek God and seek God for the purpose of forgiveness. And God likes that. God is looking for those who will do such. Now, he warns the lost in Isaiah 55, 7, that they ought to seek him while he may be found. The implication is that there will come a time when he won't be found. They may seek him, but it'll be too late. In Isaiah 55, verse number 7, well, it's verse number 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And so we find that we ought to be found of the Lord, seeking him, because he desires that we do so. And he warns us that there'll come a time, if we don't seek him, if we don't desire to be found in him, there'll come a time when he won't be found, when he won't answer those prayers. All right, well, let's continue on with being found by the Lord. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse number 30. Paul said he wanted to be found in Christ. I believe he's talking about when the Lord finds him, when the Lord looks down from heaven and considers the Apostle Paul, that he finds the Apostle Paul a saved man and in fellowship with his Savior. Ezekiel 22:30 says this, "And I sought for a man," this is God speaking, "I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it." And then the sad words, the last four words of this verse, "But I found none." God is looking for and wants to find an individual that'll stand in the gap. Now, what does it mean to stand in the gap? Now, it would take a whole message and a long message to really explain and delve into the meaning of what it means to stand in the gap. But just to summarize, number one, it talks about someone who will stand in the gap sharing the gospel with the lost, trying to reconcile the lost to Jesus Christ. The reference here is to an ungodly land, a land full of wickedness. Someone that will stand in the gap through prayer for their country and for their fellow countrymen. And so I think those two meanings are probably primary in this passage, and we'll just leave it at that and move along. But God is looking for men, God is looking for women, God is looking for young people, God is looking for young at heart people who will stand in the gap today. When God finds you, if God were to look out of heaven tonight and find you, would he find you standing in the gap? God says, "That's what I'm looking for. That's where my blessing is. That's where my joy will be found." Remember, that's the whole basis behind the book of Philippians. Joy is found by those who are found by God, first as a saved individual, and secondly, in fellowship with God. Turn over, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Let's look at another thought in this idea of being found by God. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Verse number 2 simply says this, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And so God, should he find us tonight, would he find us faithful? He is looking for those that are faithful. And he says, this is the place of joy. This is the place he wants to find us. Let's turn, if you would, over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We're talking about being found by God in Christ, because God desires to help those who are his own. God seeks those who seek him. God looks for men and women to stand in the gap. God requires us to be faithful. And now, fifthly, he warns men to be found in a right relationship with him. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 14 tells us this, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things," talking about the end time prophecies, "be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Now, that peace would involve with our fellow man, but it also would involve our relationship with God, meaning there's nothing between, as the old hymn goes, nothing between us and our Savior, without spot and blameless. all our sin under the blood, no one having an accusation to throw against us, not even the devil, because all our sins and failures are under the blood. God is looking for that. It talks about being found of Him, found of God, in peace, without spot, and blameless. Paul says, this is what I want. Paul says, I want to be found in Him. All right, sixthly, let's look in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 31. The disciples at the beginning of this chapter had asked Jesus three different questions. When would the city of Jerusalem be destroyed? Specifically, the temple be destroyed. Number two, what would be the sign of His coming? And number three, what would be the end of the age? And He elaborates on all of this in the chapter to follow in chapter 24. And there's differences of opinion when He shifts from answering one question to the other, but all agree that He answered all three questions in this chapter. We want to focus in, as I said, on verse number 31, where the Bible says this, "And He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Don't you want to be found in Him at the rapture when the trumpet sounds? I sure do. And I hope you do too. That'll be an exciting time when we hear the trump of God. Now, this may be more a reference to the end of the age when He gathers all, but we don't read about that taking place during the millennial kingdom. And so I believe this probably is a reference to the rapture. And boy, it'll be exciting to be found in Him, a saved individual in fellowship. Nothing that you try to get right with God on your way up. You know what? I don't think we'll have time to get right on the way up. What do you think? How much time is a twinkling of an eye, and how much can you say in a twinkling of an eye? I don't think you'll get a whole lot out of your mouth. I mean, it'll be one moment we're here, and the next moment we're up in the clouds. And so it'll be just that quick. And so what we're warned of here is make sure you're saved and that you're in fellowship with your Savior, because His trumpet will sound. Christ will call us to come up hither. And so He'll gather those found in Him at the rapture. Back in Daniel chapter number 12, we find something else concerning end time prophecies and being found in Him. Daniel chapter 12, with verse number 1. "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble." Now that's a reference to the 7-year tribulation, "such as never was since there was a nation to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." We need to be found in Him with our name in the book. God says we'll be delivered if our name's in the book. Now, what book is this? It's, I believe, the Lamb's Book of Life. And God will take care of us. We'll be delivered out of that time of trouble. And so Paul says back in Philippians chapter number 3, I want to be found in Him, a saved man walking in fellowship. Because if we're found by the Lord to be in Christ, there's great blessing to be found. There's great joy to be experienced. But as I said, there's at least four different groups of individuals that are possible to be found by. The first is by the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter number 5. Here we'll find by another individual. And this individual doesn't seek our welfare or our benefit. Verse number 8 should be a familiar verse to you. If it isn't, you should make it one. God warns us, "Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. When the devil finds you, how will he find you? I trust he'll find all of you as a saved individual. But what about fellowship with Christ? You see, he walked to and fro through the earth back in the times of Job. And he didn't like what he found in Job. And he wasn't even going to bring Job up to God. He had no accusations to throw. Now, that doesn't mean that Job was sinless. But as I mentioned earlier, all of Job's sins were under the blood. And so he had no accusation to make against Job. And he didn't like that. I believe that's the same thing Paul is saying when he says, and be found in him. When the tempter comes, I want to be found in him, a saved man, in fellowship with Christ, so that he has no accusation to level against me when he tries to tempt me, that he finds failure in his efforts, and he goes away to trouble someone else. But God warns us, be sober, be vigilant. You know what that means? That just simply means take your Christianity seriously. In our day and age in which we live, we don't like to really make a strong commitment to much of anything anymore. But God says, make that commitment, take it seriously, because we have an adversary, and that adversary wants to destroy you. He will find you. The question is, how will he find you? In what condition will he find you? A third group who will find us are other believers. Look, if you would, to Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Psalm 133. The first verse very simply says this: behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the question is asked, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You see, if we all are found by one another to be saved individuals in fellowship with Christ, we have this wonderful unity that the Bible speaks of, this wonderful fellowship. This fellowship that brings joy. We talked about it this morning just a little bit in Malachi, when those believers were under such heavy persecution and they talked one to another. They were in fellowship. They were in unity. They were found in Christ in fellowship with him. And that gave them fellowship one with another. And so Paul, I believe, was saying, wherever I go, I always want to be found in Christ, a saved man, and walking in fellowship so that I can have that sweet fellowship with other believers in Christ. Now, the Bible commands us to do this in the book of Hebrews. He says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And boy, we see that day approaching today, don't we? That day is a reference to the coming of Christ. And as we watch world events unfold before our eyes, it just seems to have all been predicted in the scriptures as far as what the world would look like when that trumpet sounds. And it looks like we're right in that time. And so we need to be exhorting each other. That just means get each other in church. Make sure, bring someone with you. And I encourage them to be in their place so that they might be found as a saved individual in fellowship. Too often we're satisfied with just the saved individual and we leave off the in fellowship with God. But Paul said, I'm not satisfied with just being saved. He said, I want more. He said, I want that joy. I want that fullness of spiritual life that God wants me to have. Well, as I said, there's four individual groups. That fourth group, we've seen the first, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The second is the tempter, the devil. The third is other believers that Paul said, I want to be found in him by. And the fourth is by the lost, by the lost. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. I believe it talks about being found as a saved individual in fellowship with Christ by lost individuals, individuals who do not know Christ. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, they're looking for the genuine article. I just read a poll that had been taken. I believe it was a Southern Baptist convention they didn't administer the poll, but they got a group to administer the poll. And they wanted to know if people were open to someone knocking on their door and inviting them out to church. And they found that the majority of people are open to that. Now, how does that square with what people are telling us today? They're telling us that people don't want to be bothered. They don't want people at their door. They don't trust them. But the statistics and the facts would say otherwise. If you go out and do it, you'll find that people don't oppose that. There's very few that are offended by that. Most people are very polite and appreciate the invitation. And every once in a while, you find someone that's very interested. The last door I knocked on, it just happened to have been the last one that I knocked on. It was about a week and a half ago. But while we were there, the lady appreciated the invitation out to church, and she said, "Well, I've got you here. I've got a question." She said, "I think I'm going to heaven, but I'm just not sure, and I think I ought to have the confidence. Can you help me?" And so I was able to explain the gospel. She asked to know the gospel. She obviously doesn't know it. She's obviously, if Christ were to find her, would not find her in Christ, let alone in fellowship. And that's why we go. Because there's people out there like that, that will never darken the door of a church because they're confused by all the denominationalism. They don't know who's right. They realize and understand that we're not all the same. And they want to get it the right one. And so they're waiting for someone to come and share the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, the lost are looking for the genuine article. And Paul said, "I want to be found in him as a saved individual in fellowship with Christ by the lost, that they might see my good works and give the glory to God." How about you tonight? Do you want to be found? You see, most Christians say, "I don't want to be found. I want to hide. I don't want God to find me like I am. I certainly don't want the devil to find me. I'm so weak. I don't want other believers to find me because I'm ashamed. I don't want the lost to find me because they'll recognize my hypocrisy." But that wasn't Paul's attitude. And that's not how you'll have joy. Paul says if you want the joy, you'll be willing to be found. You'll be that light set on a hill, or that city on a hill that exudes its light in the darkness, showing others the way. Will you be found in him? Father, we thank you for your word and the personal testimony of the Apostle Paul here and his desire of his heart. Father, may it also be ours, that we might be used of thee and experience the joy you have for us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.